today on Real Radio.
It is the God of the Bible who created marriage. You can yell, kick, and scream all you want. It's 5,000 years of historical spiritual fact. The best thing you can do is go to the creator, the designer of marriage, and ask him how to do it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in his series called Life and Bible with a message called Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce. This series is designed to show us what it looks like to thrive as a Christian, even in chaos and confusion that happens in everyday real life. You know, the truth is, we need the strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to not only do the right thing, but to stand up for what we believe in. Walking with God in all things and in all situations helps us to see the world from God's perspective. But there's nothing more contrary to practical Christianity than divorce. A Christian marriage is bound by the promises of God and devoted to the Word of God. It is not designed to fail. With that being said, what must a Christian do to save the marriage? Today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when we live our life for the Lord, to love, honor, and obey Him, you begin to understand His nature and why He wants your marriage to work. And now in his message called Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Why do you leave your toothbrush like that all the time? I mean, the thing's, it's five inches from you. Just put the toothbrush back in the holder. Is that too much to ask? What's the deal? You say, yeah, you know, how come people can't get married who both of them leave their toothbrushes on the counter? That's when we're doing premarital counseling. Do you pick up your underwear? If he says no and she says no, then you're going to have a great marriage. There you go. But God doesn't bring people like that together, do they? It's amazing. What do you like? Hot dogs? What do you like? Filet mignon? Oh, they're going to have a great marriage. No, I mean that. I mean that in a great way. Actually, they will have a great marriage. If you agree all the time with each other, you have a boring marriage, man. Have you noticed that God brings opposites together? Man, he's loud. She sure is quiet. Huh? Isn't it funny? That's not an accident. The inside of you, literally. By the way, we know this in an in-depth study from the relationship that Solomon had with his wife. We know from the Song of Solomon that God created us with certain strengths. You, each of us, have certain strengths and certain weaknesses. In those areas, for example, a person who's introverted, they're more quiet. They're quiet, they watch everything, they're thinking all the time. They don't say much. You just won the lotto, $100 billion, and they just go, right on. Have you noticed that person, they're attracted to the person who's very outgoing? Why? Because there's a part that God's engineered that it, through that person, in that person, fulfills that need, that want, that respect, that joy. And by the way, it's a two-way street. It's a beautiful thing. But listen, it's to fit together in harmony. Those things that are opposing are perfectly strengthening that union because they come together. If they constantly bump, then there's disunity. The very things that you think that your wife or your husband drives you nuts about and that shouldn't be that way, you need to back up, take a deep breath, and reconsider that maybe I'm fighting against or I don't see the strength in this thing. And we need to reapproach it. It happens every day. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, okay, listen, are you married to a Christian? Well, they say they are. Is anyone in Christ? He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, says the Bible. That congressman or senator you heard from a moment ago, his wife made that last statement that They've been reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21 says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Listen, Christian, that means even in your marriage, and I believe it's supposed to start there first. Oh, I'll tell you how much I believe it's supposed to start there first. I'm telling you right now, one of the great things about defending your marriage as a Christian, now listen, as a Christian, you and I are to be in our normal Christian lives living for the glory of God, right? Each and every one of us. Now, that's because of our love for God. Now, when you get married, or if you're married, your love for God should be, all right, hang on to your seats, hold on. Your love for God should be far greater, far more prominent, far much more a reality. Your love for God should be than your love for your wife or any person on this planet. You say, oh, I don't know. Really? Oh, yeah, yeah, because listen, and believe me, you want your husband and you want your wife loving God more than you. Because, my friend, it's their love for God that will keep them in love with you. It's their love for God that will keep them out of the arms of another. It's their love for God that will keep them true to you when they've been in Chicago for 2 weeks at that sales convention. This is vitally important. If you mess that up, then you're setting your marriage up for failure. Don't raise your hand. Any of you engaged, any of you hoping that happens and all this? Listen, I want to tell you something. If she comes to you or if he comes to you, if either one of them comes to you and they say, you know what? I can't live without you. Let's tie the knot. Let's do this thing. So wait, what do you mean you can't live without me? Yeah, that's right. I can't live without you. I've got to have you. I'll just die without you. Then say, drop dead. You say, Pastor, isn't that what I want to hear? Don't I want to hear that? Isn't that commitment? Isn't that? No. Do you understand? Let me look again, 30 years of marriage. Let me tell you the truth on this one. They're saying, your life is all about me. That's what they're saying. I can't live without you. Translation, you are going to wait on me hand and foot. You're going to give me everything I want, when I want it, how I want it, when I want it, now. You are going to eat, sleep, dream, and move from me. You don't want to be married to somebody like that. You want somebody to say, hey, you know what? I love God. Are you going to go with me? I'm going to follow God. You coming? If he says, I'm coming. If she says, I'm coming. That's a good start. And you just follow God, and when you follow God and you keep following God, and you say, well, what does that mean? Serve the Lord, do what you do for God, whatever he's telling you to do. And you know what? In a week, in a 2 month, 3 months, a year, you look, and she's still there with you. What are you doing here? If both of you are following the Lord, now you're on the right path. Yeah, but I know people who married non-believers, and they became Christians. Man, I don't know what to say about that. The Bible says, don't get together with non-believers. And if that happened to you, then praise the Lord. That's a miracle from God. But that's like one in 100 bazillions. Be careful. Number four, understand this. Being a Christian and avoiding divorce, understand this, what the will of God is for your life. Know what God's will is. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. What's God's will for my life, Pastor? Are you a husband? Any husbands in here? Raise your hands. Okay, guys, here it is. Love your wives. All right. Next statement. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, died. Husbands, love your wives. Just like Christ loved the church and he died for it. The person, the guy, the husband who loves the Lord, he says, okay, Watch this. I love Jesus, he says. I can do that. I love Jesus. And understand this. God's will for your life is for you to love your wife and all the stuff bombarding you from this world, to do anything and everything but that. And God says, I want you to love your wife. That's God's will for every husband in here. You say, well, Pastor, my wife, we're kind of split up right now, and it's really a mess, and it's probably heading towards divorce, and that's kind of why I'm here tonight. I want to hear what's going on. I'll tell you something right now. By the way, this applies across the board. If you got married yesterday and you are just as high, you know, on an absolute high, that's fantastic. If you've been married for a bazillion years, that's fantastic. Check this out. No matter what, and this applies for wives as well, but I'm just talking to the guys right now. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. If your marriage is broken, breaking up, or if your marriage is fine, you take care of your wife and love her the absolute best you can with the Spirit of God working through you. You say, yeah, but I just told you, Pastor, we're split up. Love her right now, starting now. Now. You start now. And if she still wants to divorce you, and if she still wants to be separated from you, let her know by your actions that she now is walking away from the greatest guy on the planet for her. So many men give up, quit, cry, throw themselves on the ground. Oh, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to walk with God now. Why? Why? This happens all the time. Pastor, I need to talk to you. Why? Why do you need to talk to me? And I already know the answer. You can see it coming a mile away. My wife left me. Why? I don't know, something about not paying attention. I don't know. My wife, so-and-so, you know? Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember her. I haven't seen her in a while. Yeah, she quit going to church, man. Did she? Why? Oh, she used to invite me, but I wouldn't come. Oh, she invited you to church. You wouldn't go. She told the spiritual line, held up the house spiritually, right? Prayed with the kids? Yeah. And she snapped. She's had enough, and she bailed, right? That's right. And so what? I want her back. No, really, this is real stuff. I'm telling you now. I want her back. This happens 1,000 times. And I tell them, you know what? I don't have to tell you, but you need Jesus. Because you know what? The only thing that's going to get her back home is Jesus. And she needs to see Jesus in you, or else she's probably not going to come back. She was trying to get Jesus in you for 5 years, inviting you to church, and you didn't go for it then. So I tell guys straight up, you're going to have a rough road, dude. But you need to love God first. You need to love God most. I can honestly tell you tragically, I don't know if I remember any of those men ever staying and making a commitment to Christ, which tells me that their little world was more important than God's big world. And it's a heartbreak. Understand what the will of God is for your life. That it is the God of the Bible who created marriage. You can yell, kick, and scream all you want. It's 5,000 years of historical spiritual fact. The best thing you can do is go to the creator, the designer of marriage, and ask him how to do it. And then we end right here, obey. Obey. Yeah, that's how we got messed up in the first place, is by not obeying. To love, honor, and obey. Well, I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about God. To obey him. To obey him by living your life for the Lord. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, that is, if you understand me, if you know my nature, you'll keep my commandments. You guys, this is the love of God. He doesn't take his children and say, come here, you want to follow me? Yeah. Come here. Okay. Then follow me. He doesn't give us knuckleheads and pulls our ears and plucks on our noses. He says, if you love me, understand my nature, know me, If you know who he is and what he's like, you are going to be so glad to follow him. Obedience becomes a joy. You wake up in the morning, you go, God, I want to obey you. I hope you don't think that when God says, I want you to obey me, that you're thinking, okay, all right. Oh, you don't know him. That's like the man in the parable. I knew that you were an austere and difficult man to work for. So I buried the talent in the ground, and here it is. That guy admitted that he didn't know the nature of his Lord. When the Lord says, follow me, obey me, it's like, yes, show me what else to obey you in, God, because he wants nothing but the best for your life. In Psalm 40, verse 8, it's the last verse of the evening. Psalm 40, verse 8, the psalmist says, I delight to do your will, O God, for your law is within my heart. Obey God, and you'll protect your marriage. How does that all practically work out? In reality, man, when we get up in the morning, we have to make a choice. And we have to make choices all day long. Do we always make the right choices? Nope. We don't. But as we get into this little mini series within the series, I want to lay this at your feet. If your home is on the rocks, go rescue it. Go get it for Jesus' sake. God says when he brings a marriage together, he hates divorce. God says when he brings a marriage together, he says, let no man separate it. He says when he brings a marriage together, he says, they become one flesh. You ever try to take one flesh apart? By the way, you know what that word is? The word is called dissect. That's the word. You know how brutal a dissection is? A husband and wife are bonded. And when the marriage breaks up, there's such a hole. In our weeks ahead, we're going to get into those issues. Pastor Jack, what do I do? I want my marriage to work, at least I think I do, but my husband's violent. I met with somebody not too long ago. It was this way. I want my marriage to work, but my wife is violent. I want my marriage to work, Pastor Jack, but my wife was unfaithful to me. There are those statements where I don't want my marriage to work. We're here right now because she wanted me to come or whatever the case is, but I don't want it to work. We're going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about in the weeks ahead, what is sexual immorality and grounds for divorce? Does pornography fall under that category for grounds for divorce and sexual immorality? I think she's having an affair, but I'm not sure. Watch this. Real life stuff. Do you love your wife? Yes. But I think she's having an affair, and so now I have to divorce her. That's not in the Bible. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, I got to obey the Bible. I have to divorce her. It's too bad. And whenever you pry down in, you find out more about that story. Did you know that divorce is not the answer? But a lot of churches say it is. The world says it is. No, the answer is reconciliation. When all else fails, in certain parameters, we'll be studying those parameters. What are the grounds? What are the rules? And what about those people who were once married? And now they're married again, and they look at the Bible, and they compare their situation with the Bible, and now they're very, very much concerned because they are living in a situation that they're not sure about. What does the Bible say about that? Serious stuff. Because these things are not addressed, the church is suffering greatly. Really bad. So the temptation is really strong for you, honestly, to not come back until this is over because you don't want to hear that kind of stuff. No, really, I'm not joking. It's like, I don't want to hear that. I want to just go in my little dream and I don't want anything. I don't want to hear that. I want to be married, or at least I am married. I'll go to church on Sunday and live like Delilah on Tuesday and then go to church on Wednesday and then live like, you know, Bubbles on Friday. And people live like this. I know, listen, I hear about it all the time. Then they come in the church and they raise their hands on Sunday and then they go out and they go do their stuff. So you got to be kidding me. I'm not kidding you. It's a real deal. God sees everything, you guys. He loves us. He wants your marriage to work. And he wants you to want it to work. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we're asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we wrap this up tonight, as we end this now, Father, every one of us in this room tonight, we have a story to tell. And for some, Lord, there are hearts here that are terrified because they're doing everything they can to keep the wraps on their thing. There are those tonight that maybe they had a breach in their vows and it was years ago and they're living under the conviction still. And they're just walking a state of perpetual terror. And you want to set them free from that. There are those here tonight, perhaps maybe, that they have gone from one relationship to the next, to the next, to the next. There's so many scars and so many memories, so much pain. And now they've come to you, they know you now. And as we read tonight, you make all things new. And Father, this area of marriage, protecting a marriage and divorce and all, Lord, it is our heart's prayer that you bring recovery. And Lord, there are those situations that are just absolutely situations that only your wisdom will suffice. Secret lives, horrible situations, manipulation, abuse, things, Lord God, that are unspeakable. And it is our prayer that in these few weeks together that there be dramatic healing. Father, that each and every one of these, each and every one of us would be set free from the past. And that our current moment of life would be dramatically, gloriously changed. No matter where we are, no matter what status, no matter how low, no matter how high, we can all agree on this. Dear Lord, bring your presence into my situation. But it's time tonight for a breakthrough. Some of you need new, fresh blood to keep fighting for your marriage. I pray God's blessing upon all of you, upon all of us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce. Thanks for joining us today, and take heart. God is with you. He's for you, not against you. His love is constant, no matter what you're going through. Being a Christian and Avoiding Divorce is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you're struggling in your marriage, by the way, or maybe you're getting ready to tie the knot and you'd really like some practical spiritual advice, check out Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Once you're there, look for the interviews that I did with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa. It's called Real Marriage, Real Life. There are some important subjects like dealing with our families in marriage and dealing with forgiveness in marriage. Pastor Jack and Lisa discuss the ways to put God first in every situation, especially in handling sensitive issues. Now, the series is called Real Marriage, Real Life, and it's on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can access his channel on YouTube or at our website if you'd like. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.